today on the Run to the Top podcast.
People's motivations for selecting races vary so much. Some are looking to PR, so they want a flat or downhill course. Others are looking to, maybe they're trying to cross out 50 states, or others are just looking for an awesome post-race party. And the good news is that there's an event for all of those things.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Sinead Hockey.
Hey, Runners Connect listeners. This is your host, Sinead Hockey, here with you for this latest episode of Run to the Top. Thank you so much for joining me today, whether you're listening to this on your run or perhaps during your commute. I hope you're off to a great day and you enjoy this podcast. Last week, we spoke with co-founder and lead engineer of Stride, Jamie Williamson. Stride is the first wearable power running meter ever that measures your energy output to determine your fitness, muscle endurance, and form efficiency. With these numbers, it can then give you real-time data on how fast you can actually run over any duration and terrain, which, needless to say, would come in handy when training and racing. It was so cool talking with Jamie about this latest piece of technology and how it compares to things like heart rate training and GPS watches. If you missed it, be sure to check it out. This week, we're speaking with runner and co-founder of BibRave, Tim Murphy. If you've ever trained hard for a race, paid the entry and travel fees, and then had a bad experience because the race just wasn't all it was cracked up to be, this episode is for you. Tim and his wife, Jessica, are both avid runners who founded BibRave back in 2011 with the desire to separate the good races from the bad, so runners like you wouldn't have to take chances. BibRave is an online running community that allows runners to research, recommend, and leave feedback on races. This, of course, makes BibRave pretty important to race coordinators and directors as well. And that's why Tim and Jessica help races to improve and better promote themselves. Whether you're trying to figure out where to race next, or maybe you're even thinking of conducting an event of your own, Tim's got some truly great insight, and I cannot wait to bring him on. So after a quick break to thank our sponsors, we'll be right back with our interview. Thank you so much to Pacific Health Labs for sponsoring Run to the Top and for giving our listeners free samples of their all-natural Excel gels. Learn more on how to get your free samples at the end of this episode and check out Pacific Health Labs at runnersconnect.net/Pacific Health. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Yeah, it's great to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you. So, Tim, you're a pretty avid runner yourself. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your background and how you first got into running?
Sure. I am definitely a later-to-life runner. I did not run in high school or college. My sport choice was wrestling, which it turns out actually was maybe setting me up for a positive running experience, because wrestlers are very good at suffering and kind of putting themselves through hell. So that's kind of what I've seen is also necessary to strangely enjoy running. So my sporting background, like I said, was pretty much dominated by wrestling. And then after wrestling, I was looking for a way to kind of stay in shape. I was always kind of a jogger, but really just for fitness, never to seek out races or to be competitive. I was like a faster short distance runner, like on the soccer field or in wind sprints, but I never like felt like I was a fast person. So I just kind of started, you know, running a little bit more and signed up for really my first serious race, which was the Marine Corps 10K, which is part of the Marine Corps Marathon. I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time. It seemed like a really cool experience. Back then it started at the Pentagon, so I was really excited. And I signed up for it with my roommate. And I seriously just had such a little understanding of distance or the sport that I was hoping I would finish. And that was like a very sincere, like, I really hope I could do this, because I had never really run over 5 miles before. So for the 10K, I was able to complete the race. And afterwards, I saw a lot of people and frankly, a lot of much, much older than me people who were all walking around in their marathon shirts. And I had my like 10K shirt. And in some cases, it was people who looked like they could have been my grandma wearing a marathon shirt. And I was like, well, I should change this. I should probably push myself a little bit more. I was like, I don't know, like 25 at the time. So I'm like, this is probably not going to keep getting easier as I get older. So now's the time. So I did sign up for my first half marathon, really liked that. And my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, signed up for the Chicago Marathon in 2009. And I signed up with her. And that's kind of, that was the beginning of the end, so to speak. I've been kind of going ever since.
Nice. And so how was your first marathon experience? How did you like Chicago?
It's an amazing race. I've now done it 3 times. For a race that size, it's just incredible how tight a ship they run to move all those people through such a like narrow area at the start. I mean, it's just always run without a hitch, and I'm continuously impressed by that race. I had a really good time. I was shooting to break 3 hours, and I really wanted it to be my first marathon. I wanted to break 3 hours in my first marathon, which is something that, you know, breaking three is a hard thing to do for anybody at any time. And I just really wanted it to be my first. So trained hard. I don't think I had a GPS or a group. I just kind of ran on my own, followed some programs online, and I ended up crossing the finish line in 2:59:56.
Wow.
Did not give myself much of a cushion.
That's remarkable though. That's amazing that you did. You just dipped right under there. So Pretty cool. So it is funny that you mentioned you were a wrestler to begin with. I do feel like that would give you a pretty good pain threshold right there and a good foundation for distance running. But you and your wife are both avid runners, and together you started your company, Bib Brave. So can you tell us why you guys started this company and what was your mission when you first started the company?
Yeah, so we really wanted to create a place for runners to gather to talk about the best races to run, the best nutrition to try, the best gear to use. The sort of inspiration for the site came from us running a lot of really great races and the occasional not very good race. So after that Chicago race I told you about, I qualified for Boston and I was going to run that race. And my wife was going to just train for a spring marathon with me. We were living in Chicago at the time. Training for a spring marathon in Chicago is very unpleasant. So she was a total trooper for just like grabbing a race, but she just didn't have very much in the way of resources to find a proper event. She was seeing a lot of the race's Facebook page or like forums, which in my opinion is just a terrible, you know, user experience, just scrolling endlessly through comments and things like that. So she kind of said, why isn't there like a Yelp or like a race review site out there? And we kind of mulled it over for a little while in what ended up being the better part of a year. She did for that spring marathon she trained for. It was in Washington, D.C. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was not a very well-run event, hence it not existing anymore. So that kind of, you know, after she spent all of the time training, all the money traveling, all like the hotel and the race entry fee, like, you know, we realize that runners put, especially for marathons, runners invest a ton in these events. And so they should be as informed as possible. And we really are all about elevating the best races. So people should know the great events. They should know which ones really do a great job. So I had done my own startup previously. That was like a job application and school application tracking app. And that from there built into like a young professionals community and a bit of a like personal finance community. And so I had some experience starting companies and starting websites. And my wife, Jessica, has a really strong advertising and marketing background. So we eventually thought, you know, after continuing to run races after her DC experience, seeing the good races, seeing the not as good races, we thought, why don't we do this? So that's really where the company came from. That's where the original idea came. As far as the mission, it really was to just create a better place to learn about races, to further enable runners to talk to one another about what races are doing well, and to just create a more informed running community.
Absolutely. I do. I love your whole story, your background, and how you took something pretty personal with your wife and you had this idea to fill this void that was out there that people just didn't really know how to separate the good races from the bad. There wasn't really any true platforms that did this for them. So it's pretty cool that you guys have all of this running background and you're kind of a dynamic duo. It sounds like you have a nice web programming background and she has the marketing side down. So Tim, for you, what does your day-to-day work look like at BibRave?
So the company is now, we've grown a lot, especially in the last 2 years. So what we've learned just from to put on my business owner hat is there's one thing to have an idea and then there's another thing to create a business around it and to actually make money and kind of be able to employ yourself and ideally others. So there are now 4 full-time people working on BibRave, and then we hire our developer who's based in the Midwest. My day-to-day is changing as the company's growing. So for the longest time, my day-to-day consisted a lot of new business development, a lot of sales outreach to races and brands. BibRave works with events and running and endurance brands to help them reach more runners through our running community and our large network of running ambassadors, running influencers called the BibRave Pros. So while we're trying to build up our own brand name to the consumer side, we're also trying to build up our brand name to the business side. So really hitting, devising what the business model could be, seeing what works, kind of, I'll never call it perfect or perfected, but getting as close to perfect as we can be is really kind of what the early parts of my day looked like. You know, by early, I mean in previous years. Lately, it's been a lot of thought and a lot of work spent on getting new projects off the ground. So for example, we just launched something called the BibRave 100, which is going to be a definitive list of the best races in America. We're kind of looking at who we are as BibRave, what role we serve in the running community, and what more projects we can do and what can we contribute further. Because we have this large running consumer base, because we also have all of these race relationships, all of these brand relationships, and all of these running industry service providers as relationships and partners, we figured that we're in kind of a unique place with so many different touch points across the community to really put together a very sound and, like I said, authoritative list. So that's actually been occupying a ton of my time and my team's time, just getting the process for putting together a nomination process and a voting process and getting that all off the ground, and then any sort of media strategy behind that. That's definitely been a big part of my day-to-day for the last few months, but that's up. Nominations are open, and that's been a really exciting project.
Very cool. So when will that be done? When is the project set to be published?
So the project is underway. Like I said, nominations go from now until August 20th. And then beginning September 1st through September 20th will be a public runner vote. While that public runner vote is taking place, we're also circulating a survey to a large group of running industry people that I kind of from all the different categories I mentioned before. And we're combining basically the scores from the runner vote and the running industry survey to announce the final list. We're shooting for mid-October to have the list finalized, and the announcement will be around there. And we actually had a press release that came out. We just announced a partnership with the running event where the winners, the people who are listed on the BibRave 100, will be invited to the running event and given a complimentary entry. The running event is a huge industry conference for running brands and run specialty stores. So we're really excited about that partnership. I think it'll further elevate all of these winners, clearly the races that are doing great things. And anytime that we get an opportunity to shine a spotlight on people who are doing it well, we jump on it. And we really think that this will be a good way in that direction.
That's fantastic. We will push this on social media as much as we can, because I know a lot of Runners Connect listeners will be pretty interested in nominating some of their favorite events here. So,
well, thank you. I'll get you anything you need. And really, I just want to throw in one more point. You know,
yeah, go ahead. Kind
of one source of inspiration. I'm not sure how old you are, but I'm just going to assume we're around the same age. But when I was applying to colleges, there was the U.S. News and World Report list of the best colleges. Did you ever check that out?
I did. Yep.
Right. It was kind of the Bible. Like everybody.
Yeah. For a high school runner, I think it is. It's kind of the Bible for a lot of high schoolers.
Yeah. For whether it's academics or if you're looking for a specific field, for law schools, for just undergrad, for athletics, it's an authority, and everybody checked it. And it was a really helpful resource for me when I was looking at schools. And that's really what we want the BitBrave 100 to become for races.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be such a helpful tool for a lot of runners trying to figure out, for instance, where to do their first marathon and where they're going to perform best. So this is going to be a nice little tool for runners for sure. But so, Tim, we will push that on social media. I know a lot of our listeners will be interested in checking that out. One thing I did want to talk to you about, we kind of touched on this already, is the fact that BitBrave, while it does kind of bring together these two different sides of the running community, the race organizers and the racers themselves, it also helps to separate the good races from the bad races, which, again, is such a helpful thing to runners who are having to pay entry fees and travel fees and so on. So how exactly does the BitBrave community function? Can runners simply leave reviews and tell other runners a little bit about their own race day experiences? Is that how it works?
Yes, exactly. It's very close to like a TripAdvisor. If you want to just go on the site and read reviews, you can just do that. You don't need to be a user or have an account or anything like that. We don't lock anything behind a paywall, or actually there's no paid model at all. So anybody can read reviews whenever they want. If you want to contribute and write a review, we do ask for like basic information just to create an account. But then from there, yeah, we encourage people to review any races they've run and even to do so year to year, because we all know events do change and some get better, some don't. But it's helpful to have that check-in year after year. And we have some power users that just, it's just incredible how many, how many races people do on a monthly and even sometimes on a weekly basis. And then are super diligent about contributing those reviews to help other runners decide what races to run. So yeah, it's totally open. Would definitely encourage people to check it out, because there's for sure tons you could learn just as a reader. And if you have something to contribute, that's great too.
That's awesome. I think today, in today's age, it's so nice that we do have the opportunity to do something like this, where, you know, it used to be just word of mouth. People told each other which races they liked and which races they didn't like. But now it's, you know, you guys reach such a wide audience with this, and it's really such a helpful tool to runners. So speaking of bad races, bad race events, and this kind of applies to our listeners that might be looking to put on an event of their own, or maybe they just want to know what to look out for when choosing a race. What are some of the biggest mistakes you've seen people make when organizing a race?
So the organization side is really tough, because as runners, a lot of times we just don't understand, because we just don't see everything happening in the background. So a lot of times something that seems like an obvious fault or flaw many times was just totally outside the race's control. So I'm really sympathetic to the things races can and can't control. One thing they can control that I do see some stumble on a little bit is in their communications. That's something that is very much in your control, and is, I would say, the low-hanging fruit for making everything okay. Because when inevitably things go wrong leading up to the race, if you have been communicative and transparent with your running community, with your participants, they are much more, you've basically conditioned them to be more understanding. And some races are just not, they're just not programmed, or they don't embrace some of the communication opportunities that they have. Maybe they're not comfortable. Maybe, I mean, some of these folks are just event directors, and they don't want to be marketers, and they don't want to be talking to large groups of people. They just want to execute a good race. But it's still so important for these races to be overly communicative with their runners. And whether that means creating personality and engagement on social media, or having really effective email communications set up, those are things that just really should not be neglected. They're almost as important as where the cones go and where everybody lines up. It's an integral part of having a good race experience. And I think that races are moving in the right direction in this. We still see some that have not fully embraced it, but I'm happy to see that more races are starting to embrace this open communication style a little bit better.
Definitely. And you know, like you said, social media is such a great marketing tool. And I do feel like a lot of runners maybe don't know all of the components that go into organizing a race. There are so many components. Oftentimes it's a full-time job, but social media shouldn't be neglected, like you said. And I think this is true for not just event organizers, but also running influencers, if they have a blog or so forth. So I think part of, you know, maybe taking advantage of social media is keeping up with the trends. There's just constantly changing these trends. So, Tim, what are one or two trends in social media that you've noticed recently, and how can those in the running industry take advantage of these trends?
So I think that I always like to start when I'm talking with event directors or event producers by distinguishing the difference between digital marketing and social media, or social media marketing and social media engagement. A lot of times I have conversations with races and they tell me that they're, you know, they're, when we start talking about what they're doing on social media, they talk about buying Facebook ads. And that is just simply not what social media is about. That is a social media platform, and they are using a form of digital marketing, which is great and can be really effective, but that's not that same fostering of a community that is how I think social media can be the most valuable. So again, we're starting to see races come around on that a little bit more, but I still talk to too many races that think, yeah, I'm on social. Our social media strategy is we have a Facebook page, or my kid has a Facebook page, or my kid runs our Facebook page. So I think that it's good. Races are starting to move and diversify a little bit more. We're seeing some races that have huge social media teams, and on race day, they have like a social media command center. And I think this is super savvy, because the logic is, look, we've cultivated this incredible community throughout the last 6 months in bringing people to our event. We can't abandon them on race day by having everybody who's normally manning the social channels out on course, you know, trying to get the race ready. So they staff up in like a set social media command center, and they keep everybody on message and they keep everybody responsive. So that's a trend that I really hope that continues, because I think that that's such a great example for how to properly run the social voice for your race leading up to race day and on race day.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, you are seeing a lot of organizations, a lot of race events where they are using or just kind of having a team designated to the social media side of it all. For those smaller events, maybe those that are just trying to get off the ground, who maybe don't have the time or resources to utilize maybe social media influencers or bloggers, what does BibRave offer maybe these people that are just trying to get their events off the ground? I know you guys have your Bib Chat on Tuesdays, and you also have BibRave Pro. So can you tell us a little bit about each of these?
Yeah, definitely. So BibRave Pros are the most pertinent to your question about both really well-established races and new races. BibRave Pros are a large group of running influencers across the country. There's about 100 of them now, and they have proven to be very effective in helping races get the word out and spread the message to runners about subjects they care about when signing up for the race. So when the new medal design comes out, or when the new t-shirt is announced, if there's a cool post-race party, or if there's an upcoming price increase, these are the things that drive purchasing decisions, or, you know, registration decisions for runners. And it's critical to get that messaging in the hands of people who are not just in your sphere of influence. And that goes for small events and large events. So BibRave Pros can be helpful to small events who are, you know, maybe it's an inaugural event, or maybe it's a 10-year-old race, but it's just always going to be small and they just want to, you know, grow it incrementally. The BibRave Pros can be really helpful in helping them get that message out to other people. And the same way that they're helpful for those small events, they're helpful for large marathons, like marquee marathons, who have been maybe talking to the same people largely for the last 5 years. And we bring different audiences, different markets, different networks. So that's how the BibRave Pros can really be helpful in helping races spread the word. We're very, very turnkey. You know, our deliverable takes care of all monitoring and measuring, so races don't have to chase stuff down. They don't have to vet people, because it's very easy to find people who want free stuff. Like that's not the hard part, but the hard part is getting actual like performance out of them and actually help getting them to effectively spread your message. And we have been able to do that. As it relates to BibChat, that's something that typically is more of an activation for brands. We do have some larger races that will sponsor BibChat. And the reason I'm making that distinction is because BibChat is really just like a national voice, and the BibRave Pros can be very geo-specific, whether they are physically in market or whether they are talking to people who are in that races market. BibChat is kind of always talking to a larger national audience. So we'll have races like the Honolulu Marathon or the Hot Chocolate Race Series, which are national properties. Those will sponsor BibChat, but we'll also have eyewear companies, footwear companies, headwear, nutrition, compression, electronics. We've got an amazing blend of different products and brands that want to talk to our larger running audience. And BibChat is a great way to do that. So in sponsoring BibChat, the brands are able to seed products to some of the ambassadors who are then kind of helping to promote and hype the product and the lead up to the brand sponsorship of BibChat. And then we have a conversation with the brand on Tuesdays, like you said, which is a great opportunity for the brand to be present and active. And again, that engagement that is so important, we give them kind of an opportunity to mix it up with people who are genuinely there to learn about new running related products. And the brand is able to, you know, add some personality to their voice.
That's great. Yeah, that's such a nice way to allow your audience to, and runners in general, to ask questions directly, you know, get answers from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So with your BibChat, is it a new brand every week, every Tuesday? Is it a new brand taking over the BibChat?
Yes, I think we've now done, I think we've had 175 BibChats now.
Oh, okay.
So we've had a lot of them. And I think in the course of that 175, I think we might have had one back-to-back sponsor. But yes, generally, it is a new sponsor every week. So a new giveaway at the end, we always have a giveaway to usually two winners. So sometimes people are getting like $150 pair of headphones or a $200 pair of sunglasses. Like, there's some really great prizes, and we work with some just incredible brands. So we're always very excited to see people winning these brands that we've seen the BibRig Pros testing for a while. So we know a lot about the product, and then we get to like give it away to two of the participants in BibChat, which is always a lot of fun. So there's definitely some good stuff to be had.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to link both to your BibRave Pros and your BibChat below your interview, so listeners can check it out. And I'm sure they're going to be interested in checking those out on Tuesday for sure. So, you know, we've been talking about social media, but we've also been talking about building a brand for yourself. And this applies if our listeners are trying to maybe start a personal blog, or again, they might be interested in creating an event of some sort. And so this is something that applies to any listener, really. But building a brand for yourself is vital to reaching more people and getting more registrants if you're conducting an event. So can you share any tips you have on how people can use social media and maybe even use BibRave to build themselves a brand?
I think that with any brand exercise, the most important thing is clarity of vision and mission. So knowing who you want to be and what you want to be right from the get-go. And this doesn't have to be perfect, but it does require some focus. So BibRave did not know exactly what our business model would be, but we always knew that we wanted to be contributing to the running conversation. We knew that we wanted to be in the running space, and that community was going to be a massive part of that. So as the business grew, we stayed consistent with our identity, whether that's our logo usage, our color usage. Like, we're very consistent. Anybody that's followed us on any of our social channels, we have really invested in the color orange. Everything is orange. Every BibRave Pro that you see at a race is emblazoned in orange. Like, we really hit that very hard, because being consistent is so important. So being consistent in the messaging, in the mission, and in the branding, those are really critical. So that can be challenging when you're trying to like pivot or when you need to make a change. But for me, that's been really critical, and something that you see this in the most successful brands. Like, they don't deviate. The most recognizable brands in the world, they're very disciplined. And I think that's a really important part.
After the break, Tim will discuss how race directors and aspiring race directors can make their events ones that people will remember, as well as his tips for how you should go about deciding where to race next. This is Sinead Hockey, and you're listening to Run to the Top at Runners Connect. When I started using gels to fuel during my long runs and workouts, I'll be honest, I couldn't find one that I didn't hate having to take. All the gels I tried were either too sweet or too thick, making them hard to consume without chasing them down with gulps and gulps of water. They also seemed to be giving me all sorts of GI issues, which obviously made long runs and workouts a lot harder than they needed to be, but even more importantly, I felt like they were impacting my overall health. That is until I discovered Excel Gel by Pacific Health Labs. Unlike most gels, Excel Gel has a thin consistency that makes it easy to take while running, and it's also all natural, completely free of gluten and preservatives you just don't need. It's also the only gel on the market that has the proven 4-to-1 ratio of carbs to protein, as well as a mix of carbohydrates to smooth glucose uptake and extend endurance. Excel Gel helps me get the most out of my long runs and workouts, and I absolutely love it, especially the raspberry cream flavor with caffeine. Right now, Pacific Health is offering all Run to the Top listeners free samples of Excel Gel. All you have to do is send an email to info@pacifichealthlabs.com with the subject line Run to the Top. Then simply request your Excel Gel samples, as well as the address you'd like them mailed to, and then you can try them for yourself for free. Again, that's info@pacifichealthlabs.com. If you want to check out more of Pacific Health's great products, you can do so at runnersconnect.net/Pacific Health. We are back with Tim Murphy. And Tim, earlier we talked about how important creating a brand is to both race organizers and running influencers alike. And, you know, kind of going off of that, for a lot of race directors, a lot of people trying to organize their own events, and I know you speak with quite a few race directors in your own podcast, Bib Rave, which I'm a big fan of, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you speak with quite a lot of race directors. I listened to a number of your episodes, and it seems like there is a trend where race directors say that one of the most important parts about just directing any sort of event is making sure that you are engaged with your customer, with the runners. So what tips can you give people that are maybe interested in directing races or current race directors? What can you give any advice for these people in terms of engaging better with their runners and their consumers?
So I have, I guess, two thoughts come to mind. One, I would definitely go back to what I said before, be present and active and engaged on social. That is an absolute lifeline to your consumer base. And if you have really enthusiastic people who are signing up every year for your race, talk to them. There's a great anecdote I heard on the podcast, How I Built This. Are you familiar with that?
That's
one
of my favorite podcasts. Yep.
can't get enough, right?
It's so no, good. Every week I got to listen to the new one.
So I'm not sure if you heard the one with Kevin Systrom, who's one of the founders of Instagram.
I did. Yep. That was a great episode.
Yeah. I really had a lot of, I didn't know much about him, but I found that episode really interesting. And one really nice takeaway I had was when he was talking about early days of Instagram and something when they finally learned that the best approach to getting the product right was not to figure out why more people aren't using the product, but to figure out why the people who are using it are using it. And I think that can apply to race directors too. If you look at your email list and you see that there's a participant on there that's been running 5 years in a row and that person's active on social, you damn well better be connected with that person because they are an evangelist for your brand, whether you know it or not. So I think that's something to keep in mind, just kind of going back to the being present and engaged. Social is a great tool. If that's through email, that's fine too, but just being present is super important.
That's great.
Other thought I had, and I know some race directors do this, which is great, is to sort of come down from the mountain, so to speak, and get out into other races. So it's so I'm as guilty of this as anyone. Tunnel vision is so, it sets in so easily and we get so wrapped up in what we're doing that we forget to look at what other people are doing. And race directors are a very welcoming, very gracious, very generous community of professionals, and they want each other to come to each other's event and to learn from it. So I think it's great when I hear about races inviting other race directors to come run their event. One of our partners is the Illinois Marathon, and Jan is the race director. She does a great job of this. That kind of exchange of ideas is so helpful to everybody concerned, including the runners. Like, this all results in better events. So better experiences for runners. I think that being present and engaged on social and getting out to see what other races are doing and how you can learn from that are two good approaches that races could take.
That's great. That's perfect. I think, again, it does tend to lend itself to some good educating when, and I feel like race directors do, for the most part, they do tend to connect with each other and kind of feed off of each other in terms of ideas. So that's a great, great piece of advice there for any future race directors looking to conduct an event of their own. So Tim, one more question. Got a couple more actually, but the second to last one here is for our listeners who are maybe considering what their next race should be, what their next marathon should be. Do you have any tips as to how people can choose an event that's going to be conducive to a good performance for them? And obviously we will link to BibRave. It's a great source for runners in terms of choosing an event for them. But can you give any tips to our listeners today?
So it's hard for me to give a blanket answer to that because people's motivations for selecting races do vary so much. Some are looking to PR, so they want a flat or downhill course. Others are looking to, maybe they're trying to cross off 50 states, or others are just looking for an awesome post-race party. And the good news is that there's an event for all of those things. So I would say decide, and you know, maybe even it's helpful to write down like what your priorities are when you're trying to decide. And then maybe it's BibRave, maybe it's not, but to just get educated on what's out there, because there are so many races. There's something like 30,000 races in the United States each year. So there's plenty to pick from. So I would say decide within yourself what you're looking for, and then just go get educated. There's lots of resources besides us. And I think that the more that the runners know, the better experience they're going to have. And that really is very important to me in a larger sense, because I really want the running industry to be as strong as possible. I think that it is an insane source for good, whether that's people getting healthier, people losing weight, people feeling more confident. The charitable component that comes out of the running industry is just staggering. So there's so much good that can come out of the industry being strong. So runners making informed decisions on what races to run leads to more positive outcomes, to more positive experiences, and I think a better overall picture for the running industry.
Absolutely. And I feel like running has become more and more accessible even in the last two decades. And it's partly to do with platforms like your own, platforms like BibRave, that just make it so much easier to choose races that are going to be conducive to good performances. So it's pretty cool that you are kind of pioneering this new, there was a void there that you have filled, and it's been a super helpful tool for a lot of runners. So I think our listeners are going to be interested in checking it out if they're not already familiar with BibRave. But so Tim, last question for you. What do you have on tap right now, and what's next for you with BibRave?
Oh man, I have the Leadville 100 coming up in like 2 weeks.
So I'm sure your plate's pretty full with that at the moment, isn't it?
my plates are full and my eyes are bugging out of my head. So this will be, I've done a number of ultras. I've done a couple of 50 mile races and a couple of 50 Ks. I've never done a 100 mile race. I have paced Leadville before. I paced my friend Matt 2 years ago, and I paced for the entire second half. So I've seen course. Yeah. And the bad news is that's the hardest thing I've ever done by a lot. And that's only 50%.
Well, that's no piece of cake in and of itself. So
yeah, I got worked over pretty good. And it's just crazy to have seen my friend Matt get through the entire race. So training has been okay. I'm going to be heading to Colorado soon for elevation and altitude adjustment. And I'm hoping that will help. I'm going to be working from some altitude for a while. And then, yeah, just trying to get everything all set up. We're going to have a really large podcast feature around my entire Leadville experience. So the week leading up to, we're going to have a pre-race feature. We're going to have some interviews with past winners like Ian Sharman. We're going to have kind of like a behind the scenes look the night before. I've got a large crew. I have four people flying out from Chicago to help me, to help pace me, and a number of other people helping crew. And my wife is going to be crew chief. So there's this whole operation steaming into Leadville. So we're going to bring people behind the scenes the night before the race, kind of walking through what our preparations look like, what our gear lists look like, how terrified each of us are. And That'll be part of a normal episode for the BibRate podcast, that's going to come out on race day on August 19th. And then the week after the race, we're going to do a really large, like 2+ hour special feature on what happened during the race. Lots of reporting from the field at aid stations as the elites come through, as my mental and physical states unravel throughout the race. And then we're going to do kind of a postmortem, hopefully not too literal, about the race, what went well, what went wrong the night of the event, like after it's taken place. So really excited about that. I'm actually trying to focus more on the features that we're doing instead of the race itself, because the latter is just a little terrifying. But yeah, that's what I have coming up in my running life.
That's fantastic. That's so exciting. And it's going to be, I mean, it's exciting, but it's going to be tough to be racing and also, you know, focusing on other people's races as well. So that'll be quite a busy weekend for you there, but we'll link that event below so people can follow your progress. It's pretty cool that you're going to be covering absolutely every component from the night before the event and then the postmortem, as you called it. So I think that's going to be something people will be interested in checking out. And Tim, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us today. I know you've got a lot on your plate right now, so really do appreciate you doing this. And I've enjoyed this interview so much. So thank you. Thank you so much again.
Great. Thanks so much. Really nice talking with you, and look forward to staying in touch.
I really love the way Tim and his team at BibRave are working to close the gap between race organizers and runners. And I know BibRave will continue making big strides when it comes to improving race day experiences for runners around the world. Whether you're looking to conduct an event of your own or you're trying to choose where to go for your next PR, BibRave offers a ton of incredible resources that you can find at bibrave.com. And if you're listening to this in August 2017, be sure to nominate your favorite race for the BibRave 100 by August 20. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Tim just as much as I did today, and I wish him the best of luck in the Leadville 100 coming up in just a couple weeks. Next week, we'll be speaking with the president of the International Association of Women Runners, Bennett Cohen. Bennett is a renowned coach for women over 40, and he's helped women into their late 70s reach new personal bests. He's been an avid runner for 39 years and a coach for 16, and he's got a ton of valuable insight on how to tailor our training depending on our age and gender. Be sure to check out Bennett's interview next week, and if you're a man or a woman under the age of 40, don't worry, there will be plenty for you in this interview as well. Thank you so much again for joining me today, and until next time, I hope you have a great run today.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.